Welcome to Worst Case Scenario, a podcast about anxiety. I'm one of your hosts, Yusung.
I'm your other host, Rebecca.
This is a podcast where each week we each bring in something that we're anxious about, and then we read a scene we've written that's the worst case scenario for that anxiety. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
It's a gloomy little afternoon in Los Angeles.
Rainy LA.
Rainy LA.
I like it.
It's nice. It's very depressing. No one knows how to drive in the rain. But
I got to wear my inappropriately warm coat.
Yeah, that's deterred me from buying a lot of clothes here because I'm like, ugh, it's never gonna be cold enough where I can justify wearing this.
But if you just wear a t-shirt underneath, then you're at the normal level of comfort. It's one of the only jackets I own with a hood, and it was raining and seemed, but it's so cozy.
Oh, I just draped a light jacket like over my head, like I don't know, a survivor. Is that okay to say?
Mm-hmm. Not sure it's okay to say.
Not sure it's okay to say.
But we're not cutting it out.
My anxiety this week.
Yeah.
I'm anxious that I'm just becoming a worse person throughout the course of my life.
All right.
Like I truly think that like as I was younger, I had more energy and was more willing to help people, and now that I'm older. I don't think I'm as altruistic or just as good of a person as I was before.
Yeah. Maybe if you're worried about that, that's a sign you are a good person.
Right, but I don't know. There's also probably...
Okay, never mind.
I mean, that's true, but there also... I could easily imagine a sociopath out there who's worried he's not a good person.
No.
That's a terrible person.
No, a sociopath would never worry that they're not a good person.
I can imagine a person out
there. Just like a shitty person.
Yeah, like a shitty person. Yeah. Yeah. He looks like me. He has black hair.
He has your same name and your same parents. And also he's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You beat me to it.
Thank you.
But okay, here's the other thing. Here's my little crawl space of self-defense that I could hide under when considering this. Because when I was younger, I used to be like a doormat. I used to just be like I hate to cite another comedian, but John Mulaney has this
another
great.
Comedian.
Oh God!
Sorry.
I hate to even compare myself to another comedian, but John Mulaney has this great joke where he's like, "You could probably spill soup on my lap, and I'd apologize to you." and when I was younger, I think I said yes to everything, and would always be willing to. Do things without ever considering how it would make me feel.
Right.
I'd make like, if someone asked me to do something, this is why I ended up in a Christian rock band when I was in high school. I'm not religious, but
because you just couldn't say no.
I just didn't know how to say no yet.
Was it not because you really wanted to be in a band and that was the only?
No, like I think I did want to be in a band, but also like not enough to, you know what I mean? It was a pipe dream. It was a,
how Christian was it? Like,
how
no,
Christian
no, no.
was
no,
it?
No, 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 no. I knew you were going to do that. I'm really mad at myself.
I mean, we played a lot of churches if that's an indicator. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, were there like songs that sounded like they were maybe about a girl, but really they're about Jesus?
Oh, do that. There's this amazing song. You can look it up. It's Sadie's song, S-A-T-I-E.
Oh.
And it's
S-A-T-I-E, like Satie, like
yeah,
the composer.
Yeah, Satie, like Eric Satie. Because it uses the same chords from the Gymnopédie number one.
Yes.
And
gorgeous.
Welcome to the French music Fond du Siècle podcast. But she's talking about someone and it sounds like a love song, and every person I show it to, it's like, dear God, I hope this isn't about God, but I know it's about God deep down. I just want it to be a love song, but it's about a higher being. Okay.
I feel like every Christian rock band, like the songs, like they're written specifically so that people who aren't necessarily like, who aren't God people would listen and be like, oh, it's about like this guy. It's like, well, the guy's Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway, this crawl space. It was just like, I never used to like, it's not even stick up for myself. It's just ask myself if I wanted to do anything or if I, but now I feel this overwhelming tiredness from existing that I think it like, I just think I was more considerate was more readily able to be considerate when I was a wee lad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. right. Let's read my scene.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the way this works is that I'll read the stage directions and my character, and Rebecca will read everyone else. And we'll probably have to say the character names before this one, because
we should probably do that just more general. Often than we do.
Please give us an iTunes rating. I'm just kidding, but please do. Okay, here we go. Interior, high school cafeteria day. A young Yusung, age 16, corrals a group of middle school students. They're all holding violins, and everyone's wearing an oversized t-shirt that says Band and Orchestra Camp. Yusung: all right, everyone, I stayed up all night, but I finished arranging For Good from the musical Wicked, so we can play it for the end of camp recital. What does everyone think?
Camper: I need extra help with the first line.
Yusung: yes, okay, let's all do it together, and make sure to extend your third finger, because it's a C sharp. We see a shadowy figure of Jesus looking on in the background.
Jesus: I can see into his soul and can tell that he's doing this because of good intentions.
Interior, college classroom night. Yusung and a friend work in an empty classroom. Yusung: it's getting late.
Friend: okay, are you headed out?
Yeah.
Friend: could you...
His friend pauses and grips their pen a little tighter. Again, Jesus is in the background.
Jesus: clearly his friend wants him to stay and help. Yusung knows this.
Yusung: I should go.
Friend: okay.
Exterior, forest river, day. Yusung, now in his 40s, is hiking in a forest. He passes a bridge and sees a person drowning.
Person: help, please help. Person: please, I'm asking you as a fellow human being.
I've got a lunch in like 30 minutes.
I'll grant you wishes.
I wish I could. I gotta go. Jesus looks on.
Jesus: man, this ruined my day.
End scene.
Oh.
Yeah. So, for the record, I've never watched as a person drown and not helped.
But you're not 40 yet, so only time will tell.
Yeah, who knows? Shoot for the moon.
You're barreling straight towards that inevitability.
Yeah, I'm just worried that because it seems like life is more overwhelming and I have less energy, I don't help people as much or am even as kind of a person as I was when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're also in your 20s and, you know... This is the time to be selfish and figure out your shit, right?
I know, but...
Is that not okay?
No, but wouldn't you also want to be selfless and figure out your shit?
You're asking the wrong person.
Do you think you've gotten meaner as you've grown up?
No.
Quick story. We were sitting in the office. Rebecca and I work together. We work at a podcast company. We were sitting in the office. Someone else comes by. Rebecca and this other person starts talking about a bar, and I chime in with something random, and then Rebecca just says, jokingly, but, you know, words cut deep. Oh, he doesn't go to bars, referring to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't see me right now, but I'm intensely frowning.
It was a joke, but it wasn't like... It wasn't that much of a joke, I guess, because it hurt because it's true. I guess I am mean, but that's not more mean than how I was when I was a kid.
Right.
It's the same level of mean. I've stayed consistent. I don't think I'm getting worse, but I'm not improving.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we both are very empathetic people. I think I am.
Yeah. I think the thing that gets in the way is sometimes you're trying to protect yourself and you can't necessarily... You can, but it's difficult to be empathetic and like giving while also trying to protect yourself and save yourself from any
It's hard to find that balance of like, I want to make this other person like feel happy, but also doing this thing will make me unhappy. So how do you navigate that?
I don't want to be a glutton for podcast segments. I think those are the first time those words have been said in that order. Uh-huh. But I received an email from the college that I went to, and they were asking, like, hey, we're nominating one of your previous professors for an award.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to write a letter of recommendation, you should.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I spent Friday diligently working, of course, in case anyone's from our workplace is listening, but also, like, writing in the background, I was writing this recommendation.
That's so nice.
And I was like, maybe I just... And that's what inspired this scene, because I was like, Jesus, when was the last time I did something good? When was the last time I just, like, you know, did anything even mildly...
Right.
On the spectrum of, like... on the spectrum of either, like, picking up litter to leading a salt march. Like...
So I take it you haven't been going to the like protest marches and stuff over the last year. Or so.
I haven't as much as I should.
Yeah.
But anyway, I a quick tangent. The reason that I wanted to write this letter of recommendation is because this professor, as I was taking the final, it was like for some English literary tradition class where it was like you read everything from Beowulf to Shakespeare, and it's like this, okay, ho, 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 we're all in it together kind of thing. But as we were taking the final, that week I had gotten really sick, like really, really sick. And I didn't have any Dayquil, but I did have NyQuil. And the final's in the morning, so you do what any rational person does, right? Mm-hmm. You take two NyQuil, wash it down with 2 cups of coffee. And you know I don't drink coffee.
No.
So I was sitting in the test, and I think I was the most physically uncomfortable that I've ever been in my entire life. Just shaking and trembling and just like barely being able to like stay awake, yet somehow like... You know,
but like wired out of your mind.
Wired out of my mind. Yeah. And I just remember there was like a passage recognition, passage identification. I don't think I got a single one of those right. but I turned at the end of the final, I turn in my test and he says like, thank you, Yusung, and smiles at me. And he knew my name even though I hadn't seen him that much this semester. And I was like, fuck, you're a good person. And yeah. I'm sorry, I just failed your final.
What did you end up? Getting a good grade.
I think I ended up getting a decent grade. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Are you one of those people that like you would take tests and you'd be like, oh, I for sure failed, and then you like had straight A's?
Look,
because I have friends like this, and it's very annoying.
I think that has certainly happened, but I also think I've had situations where like, whoops, and then like truly have not done as well as I should have.
Right.
Yeah, mom and dad, if you're listening. Like we're done with the grades.
Do they listen?
No. Thank God.
Do they know about this?
No, I don't think they do.
No. Do they know how to listen to podcasts?
No, but I've played them segments of podcasts before, not of ours, but of others. Yeah.
And did they enjoy that experience?
I'm not sure. I think they were okay with it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do your parents listen to podcasts?
My dad does. My mom doesn't know how to figure that out, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, thank goodness.
Thank fucking God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I pray that my dad never finds this.
Yeah.
Either of my parents would be just a nightmare.
Right. So I should stop texting your dad.
Any family member. Like, yeah.
What do you
stop
think?
Texting my family.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that's my anxiety. Yeah. I gotta figure out how to.
Yeah. Have you ever like done volunteer stuff or no?
I was looking at that this week, literally
I really haven't done that. I know that's like that. Everyone did community service in like high school and stuff. And like,
yeah,
I volunteered at a nursing home that my mom worked at for a little bit.
That counts, I think.
I mean, yeah, kind of. I didn't do it for very long.
Right.
Yeah. And
I volunteered slacking off, if you know what I mean. No, yeah, I don't know. But like, God. No, that definitely counts.
No, but that was like because they said like, oh, if you're gonna go to college, you have to do some. I never would have done it of my own accord. I know that's really horrible, but like it never would have occurred to me to do it.
I think because you can react very cynically to it and be like, oh, people who do charity only do it for themselves.
I really don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true either. But also, if they are, who cares? They're still like helping.
Yeah, who
out.
Cares? I mean, it doesn't. I don't really care about the motives. Yeah. At the end of the day. With that, if you end up doing something good, who fucking cares, yeah. Right?
My goal, and I don't want to hopefully jinx anything, is to try to do something through like a music charity because it'd be nice to like. Just volunteer my time to help.
I mean, anything that's like music in music. Like public schools is like
yeah. Hey, Betsy DeVos, if you're listening, get some more music in our schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A hot take.
Hot take.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining my political passion.
Yeah.
Segment. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a good goal. Something to work towards.
Yeah.
Are you you're really concerned about this?
No, I'm not trying to get enough tally marks to one day like justify my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But
how many scenes have you written where Jesus is in it?
And I'm not religious, but several.
You keep saying, but the lady doth protest a bit.
Well, the love song I written was fine. It was about Jesus, but
right.
You know, it's still
he's pretty cute.
He'd be gentle. No,
He would. You know he would.
Yeah. Oh, please. I think a lot of them include... Geez, I don't want to spoil anything. I'm nothing if not a glutton for podcast segments. However, at one point, I saw my therapist for the second time yesterday, and at one point during the session, I screamed, "Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, God! Thank you for creating a situation where I cannot win. Thank you!" Like sarcastically.
I think we can talk about this. I mean, that I really want to know the context of this. I know maybe you can't say.
No, I think I can, and I don't think it's anything wrong. I know that I am wholly, entirely wrong. I know that in
not
in,
wholly like. Holy.
No.
Jesus.
W-H-O-L-L-Y.
Oh, okay.
Based on Eric Satie's Gymnopedia.
No. Yes.
I know I'm so wrong. I know that if you like, if you looked up wrong in the dictionary, you just see my dumb face being like, what? Like, that's me. However.
Okay.
It's this idea that in a relationship, like, if you ask someone to give you a gift and then, like, you just have to trust them than if they give you a gift. You know what I mean?
Right. This is like what we discussed last week.
Yeah. Listeners, if you want to go back to last week's podcast, we delve into why I'm too needy in relationships. But, so she's like, if you ask your partner to give you a gift and then you don't believe them, you've put them in an impossible situation.
Yeah.
And it's this larger situation of like, you know, people can't read your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other side of that is like me reacting childishly, still in this giant pit of wrongness, being right. Like, that's so unsatisfying. Like, that's so right. Unsatisfying having to like ask instead of expectations and people not being able to read your mind. Like, illogical, but emotionally right. Dissatisfying. And she was like, well, yes. And I was like, okay, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for creating a situation where I cannot win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was our segment, Tales from Therapy.
Yeah, no, I think... yeah, I don't think that's the last time... That's definitely not going to be the last time we talk about...
No, definitely not.
Yeah, things we said in therapy.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear more stuff and to be able to share more, to share at all
right.
From my end. Yeah. Of that, I think it'll be fun. And revealing.
Yeah. But that's my anxiety. My biggest dream is to like biggest dream for the moment on the subject of volunteering is to be able to volunteer as an accompanist for like any like school music, whatever.
That sounds fun. Actually,
that sounds really fun. And I'd be getting a lot out of it.
Yeah,
just face
so,
value.
Yeah.
So,
win-win.
So well.
Yeah. Whew. So I guess you got to find out like how to even go about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've googled it a bit. It doesn't seem like impossible, but it also like who knows how many people are already volunteering, you know?
Probably less than you'd think.
Yeah,
because most people are like us. I think people are busy, you know, it's like hard to find time.
Yeah.
And then if you already are like maybe a bad person on top of that, impossible to
right.
Find the time
if you have black hair, glasses like me,
right,
the same name as me,
social security number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Great. Well, we did it. My turn.
Okay, we did it. Your turn. What's your anxiety this week?
So, I said this last week, but I've been feeling, like, okay emotionally.
Right.
I've been feeling pretty, like, leveled out.
Yeah.
And, but you kept asking me throughout the week, you would say, like, or maybe it was in over the course of one day, I don't remember, but you were like, so you're not anxious at all? And be like, no, I'm really fine. And then I'd be like, oh wait, no, I am actually anxious.
I don't think I asked you, so you're not anxious at all. I
don't remember what you said, but
I think we were talking about the podcast, and I think we were talking about having things to write about, and then you were like, I don't have anything to write about.
Yeah.
And then you were like, and then you would
then
wait 20
like,
seconds, and then you would like hunch over and be like, fuck yeah, I do. I'm still anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's been happening lately where I feel like there's an intangible force lurking
mm-hmm.
where I can't pinpoint something that is specifically bothering me, at least something that I can talk about,
right?
But there's like this sense, like this feeling uh-huh. that never goes away,
this ennui, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, it is ennui, but it's also it's also more than that.
Right.
I'm not like bored and, you know, purposeless. Right. It's more like, I mean, sometimes, but like, it's more like this, unsettled feeling where I'm almost like, I'm anxious about the fact that I have an unspecified anxiety that I can't put a name on, because right. When I'm anxious about something very specific, I can like address that issue and like analyze it and think about like, what can I possibly do to rectify this? And I might do nothing about it. And I might not feel like I have the power to do anything, but at least if I can put a name on it, like anything I've written about before, like anything specific where it's like, okay, I'm stressed about this thing that I've been putting off doing, or I'm stressed about like talking to this person or whatever. That's one thing. But like when you can't even label why you feel
yeah.
bad, it's very hard to like feel better.
Right.
You know?
Do you feel like, and this is a long shot, like there's this demon lurking over you?
I mean, sometimes.
I don't know. Look, I'm not the Walter Cronkite of this podcast.
Uh-huh. The Barbara Walters?
Yeah, maybe closer to Barbara yeah. Walters.
All right, Babs.
How do you know that? That's my nickname.
Mm-hmm. You just look like a Babs to me.
But do you feel like, you know, if you have to... If you had to WebMD this, like, what would you say, like your stomach feels like bad, or is it just an all over?
No, it's like a feeling that it's like just out of reach. Like, it's like feeling like there's somebody behind you, and every time you turn around, there's nobody there. Mm-mm. You know, but right. it's your anxiety.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's read your scene.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. I'm in your scene. Oh my God.
Yeah, you're briefly in it. Don't get a big head about it.
It's nice that I'm in your scene.
It's just because you sit next to me at work.
It's cool because you could have written any character and you chose to write me into your scene.
It's because I'm lazy. It's not complimentary.
Thank you.
Okay. Interior office day. Rebecca sits at her desk answering emails. Yusung walks over and sits at his desk. Hey.
How are you doing?
Actually, I'm doing all right.
Sorry.
Rebecca is cut off mid-thought as time slows down and everything tilt shifts. Whispering voice.
Hey, bitch. Rebecca, I don't want to call...
Okay. No, I'm okay with it.
Hey, bitch. You forget about me?
The fuck?
Yusung. You okay?
Yes, I...
Whispering voice. Ha 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 ha. So naive.
Who are you? Yusung just looks at Rebecca, who appears to be in a trance. He frowns and starts working at his computer.
Whispering voice. I'm your anxiety, you stupid asshole. Did you forget about me?
Kinda. I've been feeling okay, I guess. I don't think I feel anxious about anything right now.
Whispering voice. What does that have to do with anything? I'm not going anywhere.
Leave me alone. I don't have time for this right now. Sorry, Yusung. I spaced out for a second. I'm fine.
Yusung. Okay.
Interior, home, night. Rebecca eats dinner and watches TV on her computer. She has a look of contentment on her face. What a nice moment of simple relaxation.
Whispering voice. Hey there, you worthless fuck.
Jesus Christ.
Whispering voice. How many times do I have to tell you?
You don't have to keep saying whispering voice, by the way. You're the only other person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard you the first time. You're always here. You're never leaving.
Don't take that tone with me. You know what I'm capable of.
Oh, give it a rest, will you?
Give it a... Okay, we can play it that way. How about a panic attack?
Wait, what? Rebecca immediately starts hyperventilating as the room spins out of control. Her hands shake and go clammy. She slides out of her chair and onto the floor, clutching her head and gulping for air. Stop, stop, stop.
Okay.
The room instantly stops spinning and Rebecca's breath returns to normal. She exhales loudly and lays back onto the floor, her hands over her face. Fuck off.
Don't forget about me again.
I can't imagine how I could.
Bye for now.
End scene.
Have a good summer.
Don't ever change.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on. So you could say...
Yeah, that I have a demon.
You have a demon.
Yeah, that's why when you said that before, I like pointedly looked at my pages like, how did he know?
Oh, because I asked and then I was like, internally, I was like, that was the stupidest question I might have ever asked anyone. But no. Then it turned out to be true.
I think you're just figuring out my writing patterns.
So I am the Walter Cronkite.
I don't know if that's the right... I don't know. You're more like the Sherlock Holmes, I guess. Like, I don't...
It's very nice.
What is Walter... Oh, fuck. Stop doing that.
Rebecca, remember... the listeners don't know about this, but this past week, Rebecca said I was smart. It was great.
I immediately took it back.
No. But you know what? still happened.
I said you were smart in comparison to a person who was obviously dumb.
Rebecca, you can try to hide your true compliment under this guise of cold distance. Yeah. However, your intentions shine bright.
My intentions to offhandedly imply that you might be smart.
Ah, okay, well, okay. All right, your anxiety and your scene. That's rough. Have you actually been having panic attacks?
I actually haven't had one recently, but I've had a lot in my lifetime. I had one. I feel like it wasn't that long ago, but I don't remember when the last one was.
Right.
But that's kind of what they feel like.
Yeah. This is.
And sometimes it's about nothing. Like sometimes really like out of nowhere. And I don't realize that I'm like breathing wrong.
Yeah.
And then I do end up on the floor.
Right.
It's very uncomfortable.
You're just only exhaling and you're like, what's happening?
Yeah, like doing like Lamaze breathing. Like, yeah. Get this thing out of me. The anxiety.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. It just happens, but it creeps up on you.
It's hard to talk about. Even with my deductive Sherlock Holmesian powers, even with my smart comparison to another person, powers, it's hard to talk about because yeah, it is like this intangible.
Thing. It's like yeah.
You know what's your okay? One, don't be mad.
Oh no.
Two. What's an existentialist's favorite gaming system? The Nintendo on Wii. It's like the Nintendo Wii, but then I combine that Wii.
I'm sorry, you know I don't play
on Wii.
I'm sorry, I couldn't like respond to your joke because I don't get your joke because I don't play games, so I don't know consoles.
Listeners, please write in if you understood that joke.
I didn't even know that Wii was owned by Nintendo.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry that I didn't know that. No, I hate not knowing things, but I can admit that I didn't.
Okay.
Wow. I'm pretty sure that if I understood that, it still wouldn't have been a good joke. Actually, it's okay. That's not bad.
Huh.
You get points, some points, I guess.
Yeah. Oh boy. Have you ever just had the wind ripped from your sails from your podcast co-host?
No.
Yeah, because you know what? I didn't want to say all these mean things about you. Even in the
scene. The things that I made you say about me?
Yeah.
I like it, though. I like when people say stuff like that to me.
Well, I mean,
also just like stupid asshole is such a funny to me. I just find that such a funny insult.
Wait, I know I've made a lot of jokes about this, but if you actually want to give us a 5-star review on iTunes and just write like, "Hey, you stupid asshole," I'd be so down. To receive that.
I might get a little turned on if a stranger said that to me on the internet.
Okay, so obviously there are a lot of motives. There are a lot of desires being thrown around in the room right now.
I am kidding.
Oh, okay.
Obviously.
You remember that scene in 50 Shades of Grey when...
I've never seen it.
Neither have I, but when Christian Grey just...
You have seen it.
No, I haven't. What?
You just brought it up.
That's an outrageous accusation because I'm making a joke.
Okay. I didn't let you finish. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you remember that scene in 50 Shades of Grey when Christian says to Anastasia, "Hey, you stupid idiot," and she gets really turned on?
Stupid idiot's not funny. Stupid asshole is funny.
Okay.
So I decree.
Yeah. Is there anything that we'll get to it in the segment moderate case scenario for gradual self-improvement, but is there anything that you can do to exercise this whispering voice demon? Like, because it's so intangible, like,
yeah,
is it just a general wellness thing?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the more proactive I am about things in my life and the more I take control over things and like, you know, not be a lazy asshole and just like actually, right, you know, just be productive, like the less I think about this, the less I'm prone to that coming up.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of staying on top of my game. I don't actually know why I've been feeling all right recently. Maybe I have an aneurysm. I don't know what's different.
Yeah.
I really don't. And that is like, it shouldn't be unsettling to like feel like not terrible all the time.
Right.
It's not that I've been happy, but I've just been like, okay.
Yeah, and let us make this clear. We are not happy.
Never think I mean I'm happy if I said I've been okay. No, I've been, yeah, I don't know. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know? I'm waiting to be miserable. Which is so poisonous and stupid and pointless.
Yeah, when I'm joyful or happy, and by that I mean when I listen to music and I'm like, hey, this song sounds pretty good, which like usually doesn't happen when I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I'm just immediately like, oh shit, protect yourself because the storm's coming. Mm-hmm. Like, you're about to be really miserable. I know it.
Yeah.
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 I just hope that when I die, it's during a period of happiness. And
why?
No, rather than like a period of miserableness.
I understand what you mean. And I'm not saying I don't agree because sure, but I want to know why.
Because I think that'd be a nice note to.
Oh, a nice way to end.
Yeah.
A nice way for it all to end.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's, yeah, same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's take a quick break.
Yeah, let's take a little break.
Okay. We're back.
Hello.
You know, if you're just joining us, to catch you up, last week Rebecca called me smart. It was really great.
Last week I called you smart?
This past week you called me smart?
I don't remember doing that. I don't believe you.
I think because we have a lot to talk about, we should just get into it.
I remember when I called you a little bitch.
Okay. Hang on. Yeah. You know how like some podcasts, like the hosts have nicknames?
Yeah.
Just want to establish right now. Not, you know, just like a throwaway. That's not my nickname.
Yeah. Are you worried that people will start calling you that now?
You know what? If a listener wrote in calling me a little bitch, I would be turned on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Because we have a lot to talk about. Maybe we don't. But anyway, it's time for moderate case scenario for gradual self-improvement. This is a segment where we talk about what we've done this past week and what we're going to do this next week to improve our lives. Flawless, smooth landing.
Yeah.
It's only like the 8th or 9th episode and still can't get the hang of it. But
you're figuring it out.
So I've already, you know, hinted at this, but I saw my therapist for the second time.
Really awesome.
Yeah. It went pretty well.
You like her?
I think it's okay. I think it's way better than, I hope she doesn't listen to this, but cause I'm being
literally
so rude. I don't know, but I think also eventually I have to tell her about the podcast.
Yeah, but that she won't listen.
I know. Okay. Yeah.
Don't be insane.
It was just a lot of discussions about like growing up is extremely painful, and she was like, mm-hmm. "Well, you can make it less painful," and I was like, "Well, I don't want to like the thought of doing more work on top of like the bullshit of just existing, the bullshit of just trying to make sure you have enough calories so you don't go hungry or die."
Yeah,
that's a very privileged sentence to say. I know, but. Yeah. I basically talked with her about the scene that I wrote last week, which is mm-hmm. the neediness in relationships, and I think she was very illuminating.
Did you talk about more than just the gift thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to get into it. I just was curious.
No, and it was helpful at one point. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely told, yeah, like, okay, in a previous therapy relationship, I told the therapist that I thought I was smarter than her. She responded, oh, smarter than someone with a master's degree, and mm-hmm. just put me in my place. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, like, arguing with this new therapist, you know.
That you're smarter than her?
No, about just, like, general things. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, well, listen, I've been married for 5 years. And I was like, okay, all right. I mean, like,
this is a fun pattern.
Yeah. Take a drink every time I'm humbled by my therapist.
Yeah.
But that was nice.
When you said, that growing up is painful and she said it doesn't have to be, was she going into ways that it doesn't have to be, or is she just saying that and just like smirking at you?
But I'll never tell. Like, can you imagine? That'd be so awful.
Like a coy therapist. Like, if your therapist is a real tease.
Yeah. Will I ask you how you're feeling this week?
Wow, yeah.
Straight up though, like she said, you know, life is very painful, but it can be less painful. And then my reaction was like, no. The way that sentence is supposed to end is like, you know, life can be painful, but it doesn't have to be. But instead she just said, can be less painful. And I was like, no, well, I want a new deal. Like,
she's a realist though. That's it would be irresponsible of her to promise that it could be not painful at all.
Yeah.
You know, existence is pain, etc.
Right.
You know, you're born and then you every day is a step closer to death. Come on. You know, it's painful. But she said it could be less painful. But did she say how?
Yeah, she suggested like her advice to me was the same advice that I've gotten several times, which is just like. She said to me, you're a very serious person. Mm-hmm. Mm. She said to me, you're a very smart person. She didn't say that.
She doesn't even know you yet.
Okay.
And she definitely won't say it when she does.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding.
I know. But she was like, take things, you know, not take things less seriously, but just let things be. You don't have to dig into every thought with the intensity of 1,000 suns. She didn't say that. I'm embellishing, but.
I suspect it.
Yeah. Just like let things be.
Yeah.
And I think the I don't know.
You've gotten that advice before from other therapists?
Yeah.
Have you ever taken the advice? Okay.
Yeah, I've obviously like tried to.
It's easier said than done. Yeah. Right? Like it's rewiring your whole brain.
Yeah. And my response to her was like, I want things like very intensely. Yeah. I don't mean like I want a new toy.
Elaborate.
Like, I don't mean like a child wanting a new pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Okay. Right. Well, you do want that too.
Okay. Basically, I said to her that I want things very intensely, and the idea of wanting things less intensely, which is equivalent, like on the same road to letting things be, that's very unsatisfying.
Well, you're equating it with settling, as opposed to equating it with like letting things roll off your back a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're the same thing, really.
It's very difficult to let things be. I think the Beatles said it.
Oh no. Don't do this.
Okay. Who am I? The Beatles?
Right. No.
Yeah, it's really difficult, and I think my family, they like my dad when I was younger would be very like. You know, would react strongly to things.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result,
yeah,
I also react strongly to things.
Yeah.
I did, as a caveat to all of this, like every time she would suggest something, and I know I'm being a very like obstinate, obstructive. Is obstinate the right word?
I don't know what you're going to say next, so I'm not sure.
Flamingo. No.
Yeah.
No, the whole time I was like, well, like all of that just sounds like life isn't worth living. Like,
ooh.
Yeah. Okay. Like I'm like, well, I.
Yeah.
And I know my logic's so
That's
warped.
That's so intense. Like, if I can't have it exactly the way I want it, it's not even worth being alive.
Yeah. I'm a child. Well, In the past, a therapist who I thought I was smarter than, she once said in response to something, I said, your logic is so wrong, but I can't pinpoint where. Like, and I think the context of that was like, I was thinking a mean thought, but then I didn't say it. And I was like, I somehow reached the conclusion. And that makes me a goddamn martyr because I'm, or if I'm like, if I judge myself, I think it was like in the context of if I judge myself, but I don't say it or express it, I'm a martyr because like, you know,
I have to ask, were you like raised religious?
No.
Okay.
Rebecca, I'm not religious. Now, if I can just direct your attention to these 10 commandments. No, I was truly raised not religious
at
all.
But you think about like Judgment Day a lot. You think about like sacrifice.
I like to think those
you
in
think
terms
about
of
the afterlife.
In terms of storytelling, okay. In terms of the absurd, in terms
it's
of
so
the
funny because
most...
like I really don't think about that.
And you were raised
No.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Jesus. Wait, but one side of your family is religious, right?
No.
Oh my God.
Nobody in my family is religious.
All right.
I mean, I come from a Jewish family, but we're like New York Jews.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, but I mean, I'm like ethnically, like, yes, like genetically I'm Jewish, but like I didn't go to Hebrew school. I didn't even have a bat mitzvah. Like, I don't know why you thought that.
Yeah, about, I think because you mentioned that your family like was Jewish.
Because my name is Rebecca Steinberg.
And I mean,
no fucking shit.
Yeah, and I might have extrapolated from that.
Yeah, I've never. I mean, I've been very like godless my whole life, regardless of. I don't even think my parents are atheists, but they don't like they. Yeah. They never like we don't. It wasn't like really a thing. Like we would get together for like the whole family would maybe get together for like some of the bigger holidays and like just as an excuse to like have a meal. It wasn't like I didn't like go to temple. Like I have no God.
I didn't know so. Well, because I know just from like talking that we're both pretty godless people.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So I didn't think that you were like super religious. I knew that religion entered the picture somewhere. And
I mean, it's a cultural thing. Yeah, I'm culturally Jewish.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I used to be able to say like a Woody Allen Jew. Obviously I cannot say that anymore. Mm. Haven't for some time now.
Yeah.
But that was how I would label. That's how a lot of people used to.
No, sorry.
That's how a lot of like New York Jews label themselves as like, you know, like a Woody Allen Jew. Like, yeah. You know, obviously that no longer stands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick. We were, Rebecca and I.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Because we work at the same place, like one time in the middle of a meeting, like someone said something and then someone said something that obviously made Rebecca and I upset.
I don't even know what you're referring to.
And then we just looked at each other and I said to Rebecca afterwards, like when we looked at each other, I could tell that you were looking into the same abyss that I was looking into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I have no God, but like, thank God, because like, can you imagine how lonely it would be to not know that there was like anybody else that was like acknowledging
this
the
crazy.
Futility of like this like fucking moment.
Right.
Yeah.
What's a stoner's favorite strain of weed? No. What's an existential? Aren't you glad I'm taking a full 2 minutes to get through this joke?
Please, for the love of
okay.
Fuck.
Okay. What's an existential stoner's favorite strain of weed? Favorite drug on weed. Fuck.
Oh my God. I've never witnessed something so excruciating in my entire fucking life. And I've watched a video of a knee surgery that made me want to kill myself, and that this was worse.
Oh boy.
I mean, that was that was shocking, truly.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We are for sure leaving that in. I want everyone to know that this happens, that this is like 30 times a day.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was my therapy appointment.
It sounds great. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
How are things on your side of the table?
I mean, I'm still in the process of securing a therapist, but I did hear back from that place that I called.
Right.
And they tried to call me twice, but I don't answer like numbers that I don't know. So they left me a voicemail and then I like gave them some info over email and then they finally got back to me and were like, we'll be in touch soon with more info. And that was like several days ago and I haven't heard back yet. So I probably need to give them a follow-up call, but I know it's going to happen.
Like open?
Yeah. I'll call them like during normal. I'm not going to call today. I'll call on a weekday in the daytime.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's going to happen. They approved my insurance.
That's awesome.
Great news. So, any day now, I'm going to have a therapist. I can feel it in my soulless void that, you know, I can feel it. So, other than that, I really haven't been working on myself. I've just been chilling.
Yeah. On that note, I realized that, like, my therapist said to me like when was the last, like she said something along the lines that made me realize the last time I wrote for joy, mm-hmm. like with the sole purpose of joy,
I can't remember
same right. with the idea of like anytime I did anything with the sole purpose of joy,
Like, yeah, no, it's lovely. You should try it.
Yeah, and I keep
forgetting
that I'm in a city and I'm out of school. I don't have to, you know, I can just do stuff.
You can just, like, you can buy candy and eat it. No one can stop you.
Yeah.
That's what you were referring to, right?
Yeah. I can stay up all night.
Yeah. You can't, though.
No, I go to bed very early.
I'll stay up all night, though. Yeah, no, in terms of, like, doing stuff for pure joy, like, I feel like I spent 10 years from, like, 15 to 25, like, watching so much TV.
Yeah.
Just watching so many hours of TV every day and, like, being, like, in any room of people, I would be the person that, like, oh, yeah, I've seen that, or, like, oh, I could talk about that. Like, I know everyone who works on that show. Like, I know every fact that you could, whatever. Like, not every show, but, like, so much. And because I, you know, want to work, maybe, who knows anymore, but, like, moved out here with the intention of, like, I want to write for TV or whatever. But, in my head, I was, like, justifying it all. Like, oh, it's research. Like, I should be informed. I should know everything that's going on. But simultaneously, like, not really working on my own stuff. Right. And it was just so much that the volume of media I was consuming was so intense. And at some point, like, around December, this past December, like, I just kind of got burnt out. And I just haven't really been watching stuff. And, I never thought I would say this, but, like, it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I've just been, like, reading. It's, like, nice. I've just been, like, you know, not, I don't know, just, like, listening to music again.
It's
been a while. Like, discovering new music and, like, reading and, like, just watching maybe more movies and
Call Me By Your Name 6 times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Probably more like 12 times. Let's not talk about that. But, you know, I don't know. I've just been... I never thought that would qualify as, like, self-care, because to me, watching TV always was self-care. Like, it's like, I'm avoiding my anxiety. I'm able to, like, lose myself in these other worlds and, like, experience these other things and, like, get so much joy out of consuming this stuff and not making anything.
Right.
And I know I'm still consuming things, but, like, I feel better lately because of the fact that I've been watching less TV, and I feel, I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to shame, you know, I still love television and I still, like, think it's an art form and all that, but I don't know. It's just been nice, like, watching less.
I think that sounds great because it's not like I also went through a history of, no, I never, I just don't like watching too many things in general.
And I would watch, like, at any given point, like, you know, 30 shows,
right.
40 shows. Yeah. And I mean, I literally have an app on my phone. I can't track. I still, like, have them all tracked because it hasn't been that long since I haven't really been, just mostly just, like, since the new year, since December, like, I just haven't been caught up on things and I don't have the desire to, but, like, I have an app because without the app, I would never be able to track all the things that I was watching. Like, I would never remember, like, when they air, or, like, how many episodes I haven't seen or whatever. Like, I literally had to, like, tick off a thing.
Yeah.
That's how intensely.
Jesus.
I mean, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you want to do it, you should do it. Right. I did it for so long and loved it, and I probably will do it one day again. I don't know.
I mean,
who knows? But, like, it's just been nice having a break.
Right.
My head feels, like, a little more clear. And also, I also feel, like, more creative right now because I don't have all these other people's creative voices in my head. I think it's hard as a writer when you constantly have other writers of a specific medium that you're trying to do, like, in your head. It's different than reading books. I feel like it's somehow different.
Yeah.
That, like, it can really cloud your creative voice.
Yeah.
And make it hard to figure out what you sound like, you know. I don't count these scenes as, like, what my writing necessarily sounds like in a longer form.
I mean, there's a lot of self insults.
this is all, you know, this is all bullshit, but, like,
what?
No, you know what I mean. I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I also think that it's in part by, like, everything on TV, everything that gets churned out and put on TV is similar. Fiction, you have a lot more individuality, and your voice is a lot harder to, like.
I mean, maybe there's so much on TV. There's so much variety. Like, I find a lot of variety in TV, and there's still so much that I think is, like, there are still shows that I keep up with, and there's still so many things that I think are, like, have artistic value and are, yeah, are unique and exciting. But when you're also trying to cultivate your own unique voice, it can be really hard to constantly be living in other people's heads.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm basically, I feel like good about writing right now, and I really, like, after this I want to go home and write.
Yeah.
And I feel like excited to do it. So that's kind of how I want to work on myself and, like, keeping that, like, whispering demon voice at bay a little bit, because the more you're focused on, like, doing something that you know is good for you and you know is, like, something that ultimately will make you happy, like, the more you can shove that voice down. It doesn't get rid of it completely, because I truly think that, like, when you have certain things like this, like mental health things, like, I don't know if I believe that it can completely go away ever, but I don't think that that is necessary, really, because sometimes those things, like, they make you who you are, and they give you your, like, voice too sometimes. So yeah, it's just a matter of just, like, making it as small as possible. And
you know what, give me more mental health issues. Just kidding. Jesus.
No, I mean it isn't a coincidence that so many amazing, like, creative people have mental health problems. It's not a coincidence. Like, that stuff does, I don't know, there is something to do with the creative brain and, like,
yeah,
and, like, struggling with, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think it's unrelated, but it I feel like I don't want to glorify that. I don't think there's nothing to be ashamed of, like, trying to be well adjusted and happier, you know?
Right.
It doesn't make you like less funny because you're, like, not on the verge of suicide.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah. I once wrote a joke that was like, well, how am I going to be a good writer if I never had a limb chopped off? And, like,
but that's true. That's exactly. Yeah, yeah. I've spent a lot of time thinking that, because it's like, okay, like, every art, it's not even true, but, like, for a long time, I really believed that, like, every person who ever was amazingly successful, in my opinion, successful, meaning, like, artistically successful, maybe not financially successful, but, like, in their creative field, it's because they're fucked up. And, like, the more fucked up their childhood was, or the more fucked up they are, just inherently, like, the better their art would be. And that might be true sometimes, but it's not, like, an inevitable thing, and it doesn't, it's not something to be, like, glorified. And, like,
I think I would on that note, be like, correlation, causation,
right,
does not equal in that order of words. Mm-hmm. One of the posts of another podcast, Writing Wongs, said that, like, it's also a myth to excuse bad behavior sometimes, which I also don't ever want to do.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I just want to feel good and happy.
Yeah. I think Pharrell Williams.
Oh, no.
Said it best. Okay, guys, that was Monarchy Scenario for Gradual Self-Improvement.
Wow.
Yeah. That's our show.
Thank God it's over.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Worst Case Scenario. If you liked what you heard, please give us a little rating and review on iTunes. Like before, if you do write in a 5-star review with "stupid asshole," we'll both appreciate it. I think that'd be really funny. And it'll confuse people. Or maybe we should add a little tag. It's like, it's an inside joke. I don't know. But anyway, our art was done by the incredible Haley Ruffner. You can find her at Art by Roughhouse, RUFFHOUSE on Instagram. And our music was done by @notalent__ on Twitter. And you can find his music from there.
If you have an anxiety you'd like to talk about, or if you just want to say, hey, you stupid asshole, our email is worstcasescenariopod@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Instagram @worstcasescenariopod. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. See you next week.